I'm Jan McCarthy, and I'm so excited to be here today in Skid Row Studios. And we're launching our first show today called The Life of an Entrepreneur. And we'll be talking about business tips, various topics, and also meaningful conversations with other entrepreneurs as well. And I do have a guest today, but when we get started, I'd love to just talk to you a little bit about entrepreneurship. And what does that actually mean? And are you an entrepreneur? And what's really great about this show, too, is that you can call in if you have questions. And the number is 1-800-893-9562. And we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions about the topic that we're discussing, or if you have questions for our guest who will be joining us a little bit later in the program. So let's talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. Well, first of all, it starts with an idea. And I know that we all have ideas day in and day out, even if we don't ever even think about entrepreneurship. We think about ideas, well, wouldn't it be great if there was a solution to this problem that we're having? But most people, it stops with that. Just having an idea, and it's a fleeting moment, and then eventually that idea kind of fades, and who knows, maybe in the future someone else comes up with that same idea and launches that product or that service that you were thinking about. But who are the entrepreneurs? Are they born or are they made? Some people believe that you have to be born an entrepreneur, and some people believe that they can be made, that you can teach them what it is that they need to know. And the definition that I found that I think is really critical to explaining it the best way possible is that it's a visionary self-starter who loves the adventure of a new enterprise, and they're willing to risk his or her own money. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not also get investors for your business, but it mostly means that if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you want to put something in, you want to have some skin in the game, and that's important too. So I also like that it's a risk taker. Whenever you start a new venture, there are a lot of risks that are involved with it, and you need someone who's willing to take those risks and look at it as an adventure. So what are some of those characteristics? Do you have them? Let's talk about that. What are the characteristics of an entrepreneur? Well, they're persistent. They need to be a multitasker, because as an entrepreneur, and especially one starting out, you have to wear a lot of hats. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. You need to be a leader. If you're going to have this idea, you need to help get other people on board and lead the ship, lead the way, let them know what it is that you're doing. Driven. There'll be a lot of days when you're ready to give up, and you need to be driven to make this become a reality. You also need to be a visionary. You need to, as we mentioned in the definition, you need to be able to not only look at the little parts of what the business is that you're thinking about starting, but you also need to be able to see into the future and kind of have an idea as to what may happen and could happen with this idea that you've come up with. You also have to be very resourceful. Everything's not going to be just handed to you on a silver platter. You won't always have everything that you need, and you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to look for new places to get information. You're going to have to look for probably some deals in terms of maybe starting your business, building it, finding a space. So you're going to have to use all of the resources that are available. So resourceful is another very important characteristic of an entrepreneur. Well, you won't talk to any entrepreneurs who haven't had lots of problems. So it's very important to be a problem solver. And you have to make decisions. Some of us sit around and stew and think about it. Oh, I wonder about this. I wonder about that. But if you're an entrepreneur, every day you're faced with decisions, and you have to be able to make them based on good information and the best information that you have on hand. So being a good decision maker will serve you very well as an entrepreneur. And flexible. Things aren't going to go the way you put down on your to-do list every day or the way you think that it's going to happen every day. So being flexible is a great characteristic to have. Sales-oriented, too. You know, we are out there selling our products, selling our service. And so it's very important to be able to be sales-oriented. You also need to be reliable. Your customers want to know that they can rely on you. And so do your employees, if you have any. So that's important to do as well. We already talked about the fact that you need to be a bit of a risk taker. And that doesn't mean taking risk where you lose the entire farm or you lose everything that you have, but it means making calculated risk, risk that maybe you've researched a little bit, but being willing to go out on a limb a little bit. Also being a good communicator. That's important. We have to be able to talk to people about what it is that we do and what it is that we are trying to do, and just to be able to communicate, even if it's with our employees or whether it's with the public at large, and communicating what our product or service is. Also, in addition to, we talked about being a resourcer or resourceful, the other really important thing to be is a good researcher. There's so much information out there. And if you can go out and research your information appropriately, then you'll be able to be that much farther ahead in the game. You'll know whether some of the risks that you're thinking about taking are good risk or bad risk to take. And then one other thing, and there's lots of characteristics that I think make a good entrepreneur, but one of the big things I think that separates those that are entrepreneurs and those that are not is those that are doers. And that means you just have to take action. And that's really scary for people sometimes. But one of my favorite sayings is, done is better than perfect. So keeping that in mind and just going ahead and taking that first step means that you are being a doer and you're putting one foot in front of the other and moving forward. So are entrepreneurs made or are they born? I think that they are born with many of the characteristics that make up a good entrepreneur. But on the other hand, I think that a lot of people can become entrepreneurs if they want to. And I think entrepreneurship is just a state of mind. You know, what is it? You deciding that this is what you want to do. You making a conscious effort that you want to be able to share with the public that this product or this service, you're solving a problem or you're filling a need. And having a big passion for that. So how do I know what I'm even talking about in terms when it comes to being an entrepreneur? Well, my name is Jan McCarthy, and I'm an entrepreneur. And I come from an entrepreneurial family. And I married an entrepreneur, and both of my daughters are entrepreneurs. And so I've had a little bit of experience with entrepreneurship. I also have the franchise for Ladies Who Launch, and I am the Crave LA partner, and I have my own company called The Entrepreneurial Voice, and I help entrepreneurs to be able to find their voice. I help them to recognize what their passion is, and I help them to launch their business or to grow their business to a different level. So I love entrepreneurship. I'm excited to be sharing it with all of you all. And talking about the life of an entrepreneur and what does it really mean to become an entrepreneur, what's involved in that day-to-day and what's involved in that long-term vision that we all have. And again, if anyone is listening to the program and wants to call in, the number's at 1-800-893-9562. And we're on Pacific Standard Time, and it's shortly after 11 o'clock. So once you make that decision that you want to be an entrepreneur, you've got this amazing idea, you feel like you have quite a few of those characteristics, and you are very passionate about what it is that you want to do, what role do you play? Well, when it comes to being an entrepreneur, there's lots of hats that we wear. And that's one of the, you don't usually just start out with a full team and have everybody there, employees that you need in place. So as an entrepreneur, when you first start, you're going to be doing a lot of things. You'll be the manager. You'll be the boss, even if it's just the boss of you. You might have to wear the accountant hat. You might have to be the sales and marketing and advertising team. You'll need to be a tax collector. Sometimes you have to go out and make sure that people are paying their bills. You might even have to be a little bit of a lawyer, business planner, market researcher, are just a few of the roles that you might need to play. I've definitely, as an entrepreneur, had to learn how to be a bit of a technology expert, and I really use that term loosely, expert, because I'm not really an expert, but I've had to learn things that maybe are definitely outside of my comfort zone, and learn things just to be able to keep up and stay present in the business world. You're the clerk, you're the receptionist, you're the secretary, you're the phone answerer. You're kind of just about everything. And you'll just wear different hats from time to time depending on what it is that you need. Even when you do hire employees. The other thing about being an entrepreneur is, how do you become one? So you have this great idea, or you have this great service that you're thinking about starting. But not every entrepreneur starts a business. There's other ways, there's other doorways to become an entrepreneur. You can start out as being, as buying a business. So looking around and finding out what kind of business fits your passions and your interest, and if it makes good business sense to buy one that isn't already in existence. And to me, that's kind of like buying a house. You can buy a business as a fixer-upper, where you come in and you take control and you change it more to be about what it is that you want it to be. Or you can come in and buy a business that's already got all the bells and whistles in place. It's going great. It's making a ton of money. And it's a very successful business. And you can buy that too. Now, obviously, the prices would vary. If you bought a business that's struggling, you'd probably be able to get that for a little bit less. And if you bought a business that was completely up and running and very successful and had a great bottom line, and there were not really many changes that you'd need to be making to that, then obviously you'd probably be paying a little bit more for it. So buying an existing business is one doorway to entrepreneurship. You could also buy a franchise. There's some definite advantages to that, too, because there are a lot of systems that are already in place. You don't have to come in and kind of reinvent the wheel. Learn it all by yourself. There's usually training. There's usually marketing support. There's usually other things that are helping you along the way when you buy a franchise. You don't have quite as much control. You can't go in and just start changing things. If you look at the franchise for, like, McDonald's, for example, you'll find across the board that there are consistencies, right down to the plastic utensils that they use, the coffee cups that they use, the hamburger buns that they use. They're all bought from the same vendor, and all franchisee owners are required to purchase from those same vendors, whether they want to or not. So there's not as many options for being unique, bringing your own unique touch to that franchise. And then, of course, the third way is to start your own business. And there's two ways to start your business. You can either be a business for profit, and that's something that you'll have to consider when you start entering the realm of entrepreneurship and deciding whether you want to be able to make money and have it be profitable, or whether it's more of a nonprofit, which means you could work for that company and actually make a salary, but you wouldn't be focused on the profits that the company was making, and it wouldn't be going, you'd have to answer to someone else, and it'd be a nonprofit venture. And what is happening today, the way entrepreneurship is evolving, you'll find that a lot of companies are kind of merging the two. So they may be a company operating as a for-profit, but have a social arm or nonprofit arm as a part of their business offering. More and more companies are being very philanthropic in their thought process and in the way that they operate their company. And then what are some of the things, once you've got this idea, you recognize that you've got many of the characteristics that are going to allow you to venture out and make this happen, you're ready to take on all of those roles, you're ready to research the information and work hard and find out what it is that you need to do, and whether it be to trademark or patent or copyright something or invent something or have a service or open up a store, find out all of the products that you need to carry in that store, develop relationships with vendors, do some financial planning so that you have an idea as to whether you could actually make money or not, and determine that you might need to get money as well. Then, you know, some of the things that, obviously all of those things will have to come into play. Then some of the things that you also want to do as a first-time entrepreneur is you want to surround yourself with champions. And that means people who are championing, they're your champions. And they're encouraging you to get out and do what it is that you want to do. They believe in you. They believe that you can make this happen. And that doesn't mean that they're just going to say yes to everything you do and tell you that every one of your ideas is absolutely perfect. What it means is that they believe in you. They believe that you have the hard work and the determination to make this happen. And they also believe that you are creative, you're resourceful, you have many of those characteristics that will help to carry you through. And so surrounding yourself with people that believe in you and will encourage you and help you when the times get tough will be very, very helpful and beneficial in helping you to feel like you've got some support there. The other thing that you want to do that will help you as a first-time entrepreneur is don't be afraid to ask questions. You're not supposed to come into this thing knowing everything. If you did, you would have already done it, or you'd be out there advising other people. So don't be afraid to ask questions of people and to find out the information that you need. There's a lot of information out there, and asking questions and getting information back can help you to not make a lot of those costly mistakes that others have made before you. I think it's super, super important to know your mission and to have a very, very good idea of what your vision. So creating a vision of really what it is you want to do. And one of the exercises that I recommend to the many entrepreneurs that I work with is to sit down with a piece of paper and to just dream. Dream as big as you can. Write out your vision, your entire vision of how you think that this business might work. You can do it as what you're doing day to day, like I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, I brush my teeth, I go out there and I'm ready to take on the day, I eat a nice healthy breakfast, I start work at my office, in my home, at my store, wherever it is, at such and such time, and really lay out a complete vision of what that day to day looks like. And that really helps us to focus in and zero in on what it is that we want, and living it and feeling it and really being able to envision it will help us to clarify exactly what it is that we're wanting to do. So creating your vision and your mission statement is, I think, a very important thing. And sometimes people aren't sure, well, what is my mission? And the way I like to think about a mission is to think about it in terms of what are you promising that you would to deliver? What are you promising to deliver that you would be willing to give a refund back if you didn't deliver it? And it's also helpful if you look at companies that you've been doing business with and that you like their philosophies, take a look them up, Google them, find out what their mission statement is and see if they're keeping their promise to you. And that'll kind of give you an idea when you're creating and developing your own mission statement. It is a lot of hard work, but you'll hear entrepreneurs say, I wouldn't do it any other way. You know, they love the fact that they have the freedom to create. And if you're looking to get into a business where you think you're going to have all this time in the world and go on vacations all the time and be able to go out to lunch and all of that, well, that's probably incorrect. I don't know many successful entrepreneurs that do that. They work longer and harder than probably anybody I know, but they love every minute of it too. And when you're doing something that you're passionate about, it's really easy to get in there and enjoy what you're doing or like what you're doing. So I say keep it fun, or make sure that there's some fun and make sure that there's some something that continues to keep you excited about it. Finding your passion, I mean, that kind of really, that's definitely important. Finding your passion, but also keeping your passion and not losing sight of that. It's also for a first-time entrepreneur to build your brand. And so thinking about what your brand is and how you want to present that and how you want others to perceive you is an important factor for new entrepreneurs. And as hard as we're working, we also need to take time out to celebrate the small steps that we've been making, and big steps too. But having a time set aside to when you get your first customer, to when you've made your first big sale, when you reach a certain dollar amount, all of those are cause for celebration. And I think it's important to celebrate every day and celebrate what it is that you're doing. And just continue to take action. That's what's very important in this arena, is to continue to take action and not get bogged down in just kind of running on the treadmill and dreaming and thinking. I've been told that some of the success secrets, and I believe this to be true, is to have passion, to have determination, to have trustworthiness, and to be knowledgeable. And being able to gain knowledge in this day and age is very, very easy. I mean, all you have to do is type in just about any word or phrase or sentence in Google, and you'll get more information than you could possibly sift through in a lifetime. So don't be afraid to continue to learn and find out the knowledge that you need to know. Always go forward being very trustworthy. Being determined is incredibly important and will help get you through all of those rough times. And also being passionate about what it is that you're doing is sure to help you to be more successful. We have a guest coming up a little bit later here in the program, and we also have my friend Marie here too, and so just want to welcome all of you who are here. We have 800 number 893-9562 if you want to call in. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions about being an entrepreneur, to find out if you are one. And also a little bit later in the program with our guest, we'll be taking your call. So look forward to hearing from you. Right now we're going to take a little break and look forward to coming back and talking with you some more.
Se ana a
We're back. I'm so excited. We have our guest, Joanna Kinsman, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about, I'm going to introduce her here, and also would love to have you all call in if you have any questions for Joanna as we get going in our discussion. The number is 1-800-893-9562, and welcome, Joanna. This is great to have you here for our radio show, The Life of an Entrepreneur, and you certainly are one. Joanna is the founder and designer of Miss Kinsman Swimwear, and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Joanna, why don't you tell a little bit about what it is that you do? I mean, you have the swimwear line, but that could encompass a lot of things. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how you got started, how you knew that you were an entrepreneur, and just what some of the challenges are that you face in your life as an entrepreneur, and what advice you might give to others in the course of this conversation. But let's start with telling us a little bit about what it is that you do about your swimwear line.
Okay, absolutely. So I moved here from Maine about a year and a half ago to just dive right into the fashion industry. Essentially, I was trying to do that from there, but I just didn't, you need to be able to to source your, find your materials and touch them and feel them and really be a part of it. So I moved here to focus on the R&D of the whole thing and, you know, building up this brand. And, I've just met a lot of people along the way like you, and I'm so fortunate. And I've been just focusing on that full time ever since. And lately I've been finding that I'm, you know, there's certain things about building a company and building a brand that I really enjoy that I've been honing in on with social media and product development. So, I'm doing that for a few other companies as well. So I guess that's sort of the entrepreneurial spirit that that you understand too. You're just, you wear a lot of hats essentially.
Yeah. So what made you decide to launch this swimwear line? Did you always want to be a swimwear designer?
I've always wanted to be a designer, and if had you asked me that, 2 years ago, I may not have quite realized that. But looking back at my reports, I wrote one in seventh grade. Apparently, I wrote one in eighth grade that I just found. But wanting to be a fashion designer, but somewhere along the way, I lost that and didn't realize that that was something that I could really do as a career. And it was more of a hobby. And I didn't even really realize that I was a fashion designer in high school. I was, draw dresses and pants and pillows and everything. And my mom would actually make them for me because she had been a seamstress to a fashion designer. But we never really had that dialogue, I guess, that, hey, this is what you're doing. And, this is something that you could be. And so I went to school for entrepreneurship, and I thought I wanted to be an event planner at the time. So, I wrote my whole business plan on that, and I went to visit an event planner in Vermont. My dad brought me out there, and one bit of advice that she had given me was to always stay inspired visually, and which I guess she would cut out of fashion magazines and interior design magazines, and just and paste them into books and just or collages, everything, just go back to them and revisit them and kind of question yourself, what was it about this that really inspired me? And so I started doing that. I'm on my fourth book now, and that was actually what I referenced to develop my first collection.
That sounds great. And I love that you talked about that you had these dreams, and so many people do. They have these dreams and then they just kind of squash them because they don't fit into what the norm of what it is that they think they're supposed to do.
Right.
And then another thing that sometimes holds people back, entrepreneurs back, or would-be entrepreneurs back, is that they feel like that they have to go and get all of the training, like go to fashion design school. Or I have to be this great seamstress. I may love fashion, but I don't really know how to sew. And so letting some of those things hold them back. Mm-hmm. And just like we talked about earlier, is being passionate about it and staying passionate about it is really important.
Yeah.
As an entrepreneur. So yeah. I love that you had this dream and that you decided to go forward with it. And so how did you, it must have been scary to just say, okay, I'm going to pack everything up and go out to Los Angeles and start making contacts and learning what I need to do to make this launch. Right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I have to say, it wasn't my, I didn't come here directly. I was sort of trying to figure out where I wanted to be. And, you know, so I tried Florida and then I tried Texas and then Arizona and, it, you know, nothing really stuck. And so I'd lived in California before in San Diego. So I was kind of driving up and then, you know, it just sort of hit me, you know, and talking to different people along the way. I love what you said earlier about always asking questions. And I'm, you know, just asking people, you know, what would be the, you know, the best way to really put me on the fast track to, you know, to doing, you know, to pursuing my dream of becoming a swimwear designer. And, you know, you've got to move to LA, you've got to be here. So here I am, and I absolutely love it. I've met just some of the most amazing people, lots of entrepreneurs. Everybody's here just to create and do these amazing things. It really is a city of dreams.
That's true. So, what was the hardest thing when you thought about, this is what I want to do, but your biggest kind of stumbling block that you really had to work hard to overcome, like the biggest challenge that you had at launching this business?
Yeah, well, I'd say I have a few, one being that I didn't go to fashion school. So, learning that really, your learning curve is very long and tedious for sure. I'm not an excellent sewer, so I don't even, you know, make my own samples. So, learning to convey those ideas, just understanding that there is a lot more that goes into it than, a drawing. And so being very particular about those things. Just the process, I started out when I first, when it first became clear that this was what I was going to do, I started looking at manufacturers, but I wasn't ready for that step. And so, scaling back and realizing, okay, it doesn't have to be that, I don't have to go straight to a manufacturer. First, I need to get my samples made. And then, we could do, a small production. We don't need to, I don't need to be producing 10,000 units at a time. So, I intend to actually put together a book on everything that I've learned to help. I know we spoke about that a bit, but I don't always feel that somebody needs to go to fashion school in order to pursue something like that.
That's right. That's absolutely true. Well, I love that you recognized what your I won't say they're not weaknesses, but you recognize the things that you weren't proficient in, mm-hmm. so that you could go out and your strength was going out and asking for help and finding the right people who could help you do that. So not letting that stop you. You really focused on, okay, well, I'm a doer and I'm determined and this is really what I want to do. This is a passion for me. And if I, just because I didn't go to fashion school or just because I don't know how to sew, I'm not going to let that hold me back. And I really admire that a lot about you. So
you.
Good for you for moving forward, even though you didn't have what would commonly be known as the requirements, the education, the knowledge for the job.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're willing to go out and get that and recognize that. So you said there were many challenges. What were some of the other challenges that you had?
Let's see, those were the the three major obstacles that I had to overcome. Another is, unfortunately finding people in the industry that you can trust always too, and for me, I take everything at face value. I'm, coming from a small town in Maine. And so, oh, this person says that they can help me. That sounds great. Or, this event, they say that they're that they're going to have, 10,000 people showing up and that, I've got, this many sales in the bag, and it's not always the case. And I've been sort of disenchanted with many events and trade shows and everything in the meantime, and really figuring out what's a fit for me.
So that's really important too, is because you don't have an endless supply of money unless you're, well, I mean, you may have an endless supply of money.
I don't have an endless supply of money.
But most entrepreneurs don't have an endless supply of money. So you really have to weigh what's the best use of your money. And you're having to, usually as a starting out entrepreneur, unless you have a great deal of backing behind you, you've got to bootstrap a lot.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why you wear all the hats.
Exactly. That's so true. I was actually just speaking with a client about that yesterday. And in looking back, there's a lot of things that I could have done differently, but that's all, you know, hindsight's 2020 and
all part of the learning curve.
Exactly. Yes. But looking at things, you know, asking yourself every time you're about to write a check or, you know, pull out your debit card, is this a value added thing? So, you know, you don't need the, you know, the metal gold plated business cards when you're getting started, you know, just nobody cares.
Right.
So really focusing on the things that count, because those little things, you know, can add up very quickly. I didn't get gold plated business cards.
Just business cards shaped in the swimwear shape, right?
Yeah, that'll, you know, eventually, or some waterproof business cards. But for right now, they're just paper.
And I think that works just fine.
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Really recognizing what some of those expenses are. And I love what you just shared with us, the value added.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that everybody needs to kind of think about. What is it that you love most about being an entrepreneur?
I've got to say the freedom and being, you know, being creative, but also, you know, it's nice that, you know, I had a friend who, you know, texted me last night who was in from Texas, and I was able to go out and hang out until 1 o'clock this morning, you know, just because I didn't have to, well, I still had to wake up for a call, but you know, I'm not really a morning person, but I want to be able to, you know, to spend my time with the people that I care about. But at the same time, you know, I've got that balance where, you know, I'm happy to work a 12-hour day too, but really just setting your own hours, and, you know, I feel very in control of my life that way.
Yeah, no, that's really great. Tell us a little bit about, like, your day-to-day. You said you're not a morning person,
yeah.
So you probably don't schedule your calls first thing at 7 o'clock in the morning.
I try not to.
But what are some of the things, like, the day-to-day, what you would say for an entrepreneur, for you, for as a fashion designer? I mean, do you have it all very organized with, I'm going to design from this time to this time? Do you have to always be forward-thinking in terms of the next collection, all of those kind of things?
Yeah, absolutely. You do have to be very forward thinking and thinking at least 6 months in advance. As far as my sort of typical day, that I can't really say that there is a day to day. It's really it's different every day. You know, today I'm after the show, I'll be here at the textile show downtown, and sourcing for some materials for some swimwear cover ups, and then sourcing for a client with her handbag line. And then tomorrow, you know, I've really got to buckle down and focus on some social media, and we're doing a Kickstarter campaign soon. So, you know, pulling all that together. So it really is, it's different every day. And that's one of the exciting things about it too.
That sounds great. One of the things that I think is really great is just recognizing that you also need to, at times, expand your product line. So when you first started out, did you already know that you wanted to go into these different areas of swimwear cover up or things like that? Or did you start out in the very beginning having that as part of your product line?
I've gone back and forth, because actually when I was in Maine, at first it was very hard for me to find somebody who even wanted to sew swimwear, because that's one of the hardest things to make. And so I you know, decided to do cover-ups in the meantime. So, you know, so I'd have some of those patterns made up. But as soon as I was able to find someone, I was like, all right, let's go. Let's start, you know, let's get the swimwear done. And sort of tabled the cover-ups. And so now I actually created one that I brought to Miami Swimwear that was a big hit. So that's the one I'm, you know, focus on that, and one or two others for resort season. I think it's necessary when you have a swimwear line to really complete that collection.
That sounds great. And what, I mean, when you say swimwear, there's all kinds of swimwear.
Oh, yes.
So who is your audience, and what makes your swimwear line unique?
My target market is women ages 18 to about 40. They're Brazilian cut bottoms for the most part. That's what we started with, a lingerie-inspired Brazilian cut line. So they're very small. And, you know, for fashion affluent women who really, you know, genuinely care about quality and their own health and fashion overall.
That sounds great. And so is there a certain, I love that they're lingerie inspired, and I love that you recognize what your target market is. Are there other lines out there, other competitors that might say that they're based on the same thing, or is that your real secret sauce that you're?
There are two. I've heard them called swimgerie and lingerie.
You don't have to tell me their names.
I have no idea what they are. but mine, you know, I wouldn't look at them and say, oh, those are, is that underwear or is it swimwear? But, you know, I've just carried my swimwear just around downtown. I don't care if people are going to knock off my staff. I don't, you know, I don't worry about that.
Well, yours is still you. I mean, it's really got a lot of you into it. And you're continually creating.
Yeah.
You know, so, and one of the things, the way I first, I think you might recall, the way I first met you is you're really big on collaboration.
Yes.
And you also do think outside the box quite a bit, because you, the way I first learned about you is you had a photo posted on Facebook of a friend of mine's handbags where walking down the street, women were walking down the street in the bathing suits.
Yes.
Carrying a handbag too. and that was very creative and very kind of out of the box. That's not normally how you see the photos of swimwear.
Walking down the middle of the street in the city.
City street.
Yeah, and that's absolutely, that's, you know, with every photo shoot that we do and every runway show, it's really, you know, pushing the envelope and raising the bar higher and higher for where we want to be. And so that's been very exciting. But I love collaborating with other designers and stylists, models, photographers. And so that goes back to what I was saying about LA, just everybody's here for this, you know, a common goal, and everybody comes in and we do something like that, and everybody has an invested interest. And that was one of the most amazing days I've had here.
That sounds great. So in your mind, project 10 years from now, would you still be doing your swimwear line? Are there new products that you're looking to add to that line?
In 10 years, I still want to be designing swimwear. I'll never run out of inspiration. But having, you know, and actually this will hopefully be happening sooner than later, but allowing somebody else to, you know, to come in and manage the operations so I can really focus on what I love. But I also love to build and start new things as entrepreneurs do. So, you know, I can't wait to start other lines as well. This will always be my, you know, sort of my number one, my passion, because I've been inspired for years, or I guess my first swimwear design. I just remember it coming to me when I was at the gym, and that was six years ago or so. So, in 10 years, I imagine that I'll be the founder of a few different companies, and I'll have figured it out by then too. You know, I'll have some books out, and maybe I'll have my own radio show. Like, yeah.
Sounds great. Or do a runway where we can see all of your fashions.
Yes,
right,
absolutely.
Down the middle of the table. If anyone wants to call in, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-893-9562. You can, or yes, 9562, correct. You can call in and talk to myself, Jan. You can call in and talk to Joanna. Find out a little bit of ins and outs about what it's like to be an entrepreneur or to be a designer, launch your own company. So we'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to give us a call here. What advice would you give others? I mean, you've given us a few pieces of advice, but if you had to, I won't say narrow it down, but what do you think is most important? Like when you tell other entrepreneurs, because I'm sure that you have people coming up to you saying, oh my gosh, how did you start your business?
Well, I'll share a bit of advice and sort of expand on this bit that I had left at your mastermind. You know, I love how when we go in there and we do a little takeaway or, you know, a bit of advice for the group. And mine for a while has been to take imperfect action. And I think you remember that one. But really, it is just doing it and just getting something out there. And you know, for me, a major catalyst for the launch of my swimwear was actually, you know, just letting people know this is what I want to do. And you know, you tell enough people, you put that intention out there, and, you know, the next thing you know, you're getting introductions to, you know, to this person, that person, and different opportunities that that come up. So, you know, for me, it was, you know, just saying, you know, letting people know that I'm a swimwear designer. I design bikinis. I don't have any yet, but you know, so I got connected to a designer who asked me to launch my, you know, my non-existent line essentially, and so that gave me 2 weeks to pull my stuff together and present down in Boston. So. Or up in Boston, I guess, from here and over. So really, yeah, just getting something out there for people to see, because I think a lot of people have a tendency to, they don't realize it, but kind of hoard their ideas. But, you know, so just get it out there and make it perfect later, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I think you're right. It's definitely getting it out there. And if you keep it all inside, then it just is a best kept secret. And by sharing it, and that doesn't mean you have to give away your trade secrets or share your patents or your explicit drawings with everyone and say, yeah, go out and make them. Mm-hmm. What it means is just sharing with people what it is that you want to do. And that does open up doors, and it does open up opportunities, and it does help you to explore different resources and be able to even possibly meet the people that you need to meet. So I think that that's really great. And as we talked about, done is better than perfect.
Yeah.
Really just taking that action. That really is the big separator between those that become entrepreneurs and those that don't. And I love that you declared yourself a swimwear designer before you had even designed your line and put it out there. And it just goes to reinforce the idea that entrepreneurship is a state of mind.
Yes.
And by believing it and by putting it out there, then you're going to start to take all of those actions that will lead you in the direction that you need to go.
Absolutely.
So that's a great piece of advice, is to take imperfect action. What other things have you found along the way that you would like to share in terms of advice for other entrepreneurs too?
Well, I'll go back to something that you had touched on, sharing your ideas. I think, you know, there's so, again, a lot of people who think that someone's going to knock off your designs or take your business idea, but the chances, the odds of somebody doing that and, you know, listening to your idea.
It takes a lot of work,
yeah,
right?
seeing your designs on paper and all of a sudden developing a passion for exactly what you're doing. And, you know, there's plenty of ideas out there. And, you know, for me, I always say, you know, I'll show somebody my, you know, my sketchbook, you know, because if I can't come up with other designs, then what am I doing here? So, you know, if somebody wants to knock them off, and I'm sure eventually somebody will, that's okay, because there's more, then there's plenty more. So that's what, you know, I was saying. That's why I would walk around just with my, you know, I don't walk around with my designs covered up or anything like that. I don't worry. So it's sort of I try to have this mindset of abundance as opposed to a scarcity mindset.
I think that's great. It's also, there are no new ideas. It's really just you putting your spin on it. And you being able to know, again, what makes you unique. And you know what's inspiring you. You've got your muse. You've got your something that is your inspiration every day to create.
Yeah.
And you, like you said, you have you have plenty of ideas where those came from. And you'll constantly be reinventing and configuring and redesigning and keep it fresh.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for entrepreneurs to recognize, is not to get comfortable and not to, even though you may have your bestseller and you'll continue to have that, and swimwear doesn't, or maybe it does, go out of, once I'll go out of fashion right away, I don't know. You know, just continuing to create and make it fresh and put a new spin on it, I think is critically important.
Yeah, I think where my brand will aim to put this, you know, a new spin on things is really, as I had mentioned before, you know, just pushing the envelope. And that's where we want to be. We want to, you know, shock people a little bit. So we're, you know, raising the bar slowly for, you know, to go with that shock factor, the, you know, the PR angle that is going to make people say, what are they doing? You know, so we've got a few ideas up our sleeves. So.
Well, whether you agree with her or not, Miley Cyrus certainly knew how to get people talking about her and still talking about her. And I think when it comes to swimwear, you know, that's obviously something that you want to keep people looking at and looking at fresh ideas for marketing and mm-hmm. PR, like you said. That's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Well, share your website with our listeners.
Sure. It's misskinsman.com. It's MISSKINSMAN.
Okay.
Yes.
And I hope that our listeners will go and check out your swimsuits. Now, are they all bikinis? Maybe that's automatically a Brazilian cut.
You could have a Brazilian cut one piece. Right now it is all two-piece bikinis, or bikinis, two pieces, two-piece swimwear. As we continue to expand the line, you know, then we'll be adding one pieces and, you know, we'll have cover-ups up there soon. So, you know, I sort of took imperfect action. I just wanted to get something out there and, you know, sort of a proof of concept. And even with that, you know, I've learned so much already. So that's what's up there now. And it's all available online and Amazon. And we have pulled all of our summer stuff right now, but we'll be back in shops right around December for resort season.
And so if someone visits your website, they'll be able to find what stores are carrying your line.
Yes.
Awesome. Great. Well, I am so excited that you came in and talked with me today. And I love that you shared your life as an entrepreneur with our listeners. And just to, again, you don't have to know all of the information to go out and become an entrepreneur. Think about whether you have the characteristics and the stamina to mm-hmm. to be able to go on this journey. But should you decide to go on this journey, it's a very exciting one, and it allows you to express your creativity in such a wonderful way and to be able to be in control of your life and also to share your gifts too.
Yeah.
And I think that's great too, because sometimes we don't recognize that we have gifts that, whether it's in our product or in our service, that others can benefit so much from. So I appreciate that you took that challenge and that step and had that courage to say, yes, I am an entrepreneur and I'm going to go out there and do it. And thank you again, Joanna, for being a part of our show. It's Miss Kinsman Swimwear, and it's www.misskinsman.com.
Yes.
And I'm Jan McCarthy, and I appreciate all of you joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.